Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And my prayer for each of us this morning, that we be found that we have riches that cannot be compared, that cannot be measured, that cannot fully be fathomed. But I pray that each of us would walk in this grace and in this truth this morning and for the rest of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I know there's a commercial that if I say what's in your wallet, you already know the response. So I have a question for you. What's in your account? Now, when I was a very young lad, and I was trying to think how old I was young. That's all I remember. 9? I got some money from a birthday. I think I had $20. And my mom looked at me and says, it's time for you to have a bank account. So she took me to the Pomona First Federal, and we opened an account. They gave me a book. It was a savings account. There's not very many of those nowadays. But I actually had an interest with the savings account. So I got to look at this deposit, and I could see the money in this book. But the fascinating thing is, the more I put in there, the more it grew. The more it grew, the more interest I got. And I, when I needed it, because I was not one that would spend money, would buy something that I wanted. But it gave me something. It gave me the understanding of what it meant to have an account. How to have money. How to handle money. Now, what was interesting, and now to me, it's interesting, to you it may not be, I still have bank accounts, but these bank accounts are usually checking accounts, and I do have savings accounts, and thankfully there is one that actually gives interest. Amazing, isn't it? But my checking account, I do it a way that you probably don't. Why? Because I'm old. See the gray? I balance my checkbook every month. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of aggravating. Not because. It's just time-consuming, you know. It is. But I'm still diligent. Why? Because, again, I want to know what's in there. I want to know how much money's there. How much money's not there. Oh, what bills are coming in? Do I have enough to cover? Do I have to take something out of my savings to put it into my account? I need to know these things. I need to know the bottom line. Now, it'd be nice, if you will, if somebody just deposited millions of dollars in my account, then I wouldn't worry about it. Now, I told you, I'm not a big spender. Not a big deal. My wife, on the other hand, what did I say that? I'll be eating my lunch in the backyard this morning. The whole thing is that accounts are important, but do you know that you and I have a heavenly account, the riches beyond your imagination. Now, just again to go back to money. Money is not the answer. If you want to hear about certain stories, just hear about the stories of people that have won the lottery. Families broken up. Marriages dissolved. Money taken from those that constantly ask for it. I did hear about a young man, actually, this was some years ago. He inherited a lot of money, and he was a freshman in college. And he was a nice-looking kid. But he was asked, so what's it like to be a millionaire? He said, right now, I'll be honest with you, I don't like it. Why? Because all of a sudden, my ex-girlfriends are coming up to me trying to bring up the relationship again. People are constantly asking me for money. The notoriety I got in school, I had to drop out. My life's on hold. Sometimes we feel that way. Oh, not monetarily necessarily. But again, not grasping and fathoming what it means to be rich in Christ. Now remember, we're in Acts. So in Acts, it's interesting because they've come to a place of peace. The peace is because, why? Because the persecution has stopped. Why has the persecution stopped? Well, the name reason why is probably because Paul or Saul is not persecuting them. The second thing is probably Pontius Pilate has been removed. King Agrippa is now in charge. King Agrippa did not allow the Jews to have such freedom to go about persecuting in his kingdom. So again, there was a peace. So what happens in this peace? Well, look. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Now, remember that word peace, it means to have security and safety. The church enjoyed a time of peace and were edified. What does that word mean? It means to build up. It means that the Holy Spirit brought this time of peace to build up the church. See, when life gets hectic, sometimes you need a time of calmness, peace. So the roots can go down deep, that the foundation can be built on properly. Now, sometimes we mistake in this peace for non-activity. The ruts. The day in. The day out. Everything seems to go the same way every day. Nothing seems to change except maybe the weather. Remember, we are in Nebraska. But see, there's always a time of peace to build up. To promote growth. To promote growth in what? In grace. In knowledge, in wisdom, in holiness, affection, and blessedness of promises. Peter says it this way, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him the glory both now and forever. Amen. God's desire for each of us is to understand something very simply. Grace. Now, you might know it as this way, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. The promises that He has given to us. Growth in grace is the knowledge and understanding that Christ paid it all. We live out of His riches, covered in His righteousness, smothered in His love, blessed in His promises. We say again, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, if you have your Bibles with, will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1? And we're just going to go through some of these riches very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. That's you and I. Even though we're not in Ephesus, it's to the saints. Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with a few spiritual blessings. Notice it says every. I looked it up. That word means every or anything or all. It's everything. Every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Why the heavenly places, you ask? Well, does that mean it can trickle down? Understand this. In the heavenly places, there is no rust nor moth. There is nothing that can be eaten it. Your heavenly wealth cannot be succumbed by a depression, an economy, whatever, catastrophe. Thief can't steal it. Moth neither. Rust, nope. Nothing. War, famine, nothing can disrupt. Listen to that. Disrupt your account in heaven. Here on earth, it can be anything. But there, nothing. It's infinite. Infinite means, if you will, that you own trillions of dollars. That doesn't even compare. Why? Because, as you know, when there's a recession, that money kind of shrinks. No, there's nothing that can touch it. It's yours. It's mine. It's forever. Riches in heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? It means this. Hey, Lily, this is so cool. That again, it has to be reminded to us constantly. What is it? You were chosen. Yes, you. You were chosen, Nicholas. You were chosen, Micah. You were chosen. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? God already knew your life. Isn't that great? He chose you before the foundation. As the old pastor joke goes, I'm sure glad He chose me before He made anything, because afterwards, if He saw me, He would have rejected me. No, He already saw you. He saw every minute of your life. He chose you. You are secure in the heavenly places. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, separate unto Him, holy in character, holy in purity, without blame. What blame? Blame of any sin. It's all been taken care of. Everything. Before Him in what? In anger? No, in love. In love. In love. God loves you. You can never withdraw that from His account and become blemished. Or nothing there anymore. It becomes, what's the word I'm trying to get at? It's completely withdrawn. No. His love is infinite. His love can be constantly drawn on. His love is ours to walk in, to live in, to enjoy. Because He's predestined us to what? As children of God by Jesus Christ to Himself according to what? His anger? No, notice it's His good pleasure. Do you know He rejoices over you? In fact, we've talked about this. He rejoices over you with singing. Isn't that good to hear? Good for all of us to take this to the praise of the glory of what? His grace, His riches, His gift, His unmerited favor by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In who? In you? In great works that you've done? No, in Him. We have redemption. We've been bought at a price. We've been delivered from our sins. We've been delivered from that old lifestyle. Through what? Your works? No, through His blood. The forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. How do we know that? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Predestined. You're already there. In God's eyes, you're already in heaven. You're already seated there. All sin forgiven. According to what? Again, the riches of His grace, which He made to abound with an abundance towards us in all wisdom and prudence and understanding, if you will. It's for to understand. To accept it. Oh, I know some of you are saying, but I'm not worthy. No, you're not. Neither am I. It's grace. But I keep struggling with this because I can't seem to withdraw from it. But again, the issue we're going to talk about in a second. But again, it's all on our end. God hasn't closed the account to you. He never does. It's always open. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living in poverty and yet you have this account in riches? It's happened so many times. I mean, I remember reading years ago about a man that was homeless. Homeless for years and years and years until finally by happen chance he bumped into a lawyer that's been looking for him for the last 20 years. He said, you've inherited a wealth. 20 years he's lived in the street and he could have lived in a mansion. How many of us, when we get to heaven, just go, oh, really? I had it all? There was nothing kept from me? It was all on my end. I'm the one that kept it from coming. Blessed with every spiritual blessing, chosen before creation, adopted as His children, highly favored in His love, forgiven of all sin, given an inheritance. That was a statement of fact, too, just so you know. It's sealed. It's confirmed. All this has been given to us and so much more. In fact, Peter puts it this way. I'm a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power, this is, listen, 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. Listen, this is verse 3. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. I didn't hear one amen. I didn't hear, oh, one, so be it. Do you believe this? Now, to be honest, I understand we all struggle with these things. How can this be? How can I actually live this out? Why is it that I don't receive the grace that has been given to me? Well, let me give you four things quickly. And it's not an exhaustive list. See, sometimes we just feel that we need to earn it. We're not good little boys, little girls. How can God deposit things in our account when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing? We're not doing what we need to be doing. We're failing. And then that's the second thing. It's my sin or failure has kept me from withdrawing, fully grasping the truth that it's for this very reason that I need to live in it. The third, that's kind of obvious, but again, we usually don't think about it. Satan is a thief. His desire is to steal from you, so you don't come to this understanding of what is already yours. The more he can keep you from understanding what's in your account, the weaker you are. Why? Because it's all in Christ. Maybe you're saying, I'm not living in peace right now, so I don't know how this is really, you know, how is this working for me? I'm not living in peace. My life is hectic. You don't understand. It's crazy. Kids, the work, the schedule. I just have no time for myself. Well, Paul has something to say about that, too. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What's he saying? I mean, why tribulations? I can know this. It produces perseverance. What is that? It says to hold on. Even when everything in me says let go. Why? Because if the reality is, it's just like if you've ever held your child's hand, the toddler especially, across the street. Do you trust their hand on yours? Of course not. You give them a death grip. I used to grab them by the arm. I ain't letting go. You don't go until I say you go. And I would say, look both ways. You see anything coming? I would go this over them even when they were 18 years old and they still didn't learn. No, I'm kidding. Point is I would not let go. God never lets go. Isn't this a good message? Isn't this something good to hear? If we only knew and can accept the riches that God has for us, even in tribulation, He's teaching us, hold on, don't let go, understand something, I'm doing a work in you. I'm building character, I'm building hope, I'm building trust. You're not going to be disappointed. Trust me, see me for who I am, is what actually Paul, or I should say, Luke says in the account of Acts. Next. Notice, in walking back to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. In walking in the fear of the Lord. That word walking means to pursue or continue one's journey, to live one's life. In what? In fear. God's going to get you. Because that's how some of you read that. No, that's not what it means. No, no, no. It's a reverence and an awe of the Lord. Or break it down a little better. It's seeing God for who He is. For who He is. What He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. It's seeing God. Jeremiah put it this way. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. An outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children. After them, the great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. When Jesus was doing His miracles, the people were amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear. And when there was a great windstorm and the waves beat against the boat so that it was already filling up, and Jesus was asleep, they awoke Him and says, don't you care that we perish? And He stood and said, peace be still. How did the disciples react? They said simply this to themselves, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Oh, the waves and the turmoil of life. I know, I'm there too sometimes. Sometimes we lose fact of that. You know, I used to body surf when I was younger. And I lived in a different place. I can't see any place you could do it here. But we used to body surf. And body surfing, we would, again, when the waves were bigger, we were like, all right. And we would go out there. And there's this one beach, and I still, it's Huntington Beach. Unless they changed it, I don't know. But the thing with the Huntington Beach was there's a slope, at least where the beaches we went to, there was this slope. And if the waves were big enough, what the waves would do is they would crash you into the shore. Bam! But during that time, there's this sand and water, and you're spinning all over the place out of control before you hit. And that's the way you feel sometimes in life. It's out of control. You're spinning around. The sand's getting in places you don't even want to talk about. And it's horrible, and you're thinking, what good can come of this? It's because just like body surfing, there's still the sun and the shore. You see, the crash brings me to life. In life, whatever you're going through, if the focus again goes to the Lord, then it's achieved its purpose. And it's doing, God is doing His work. Of saying, I got you even through this. Whatever that is. It's walking in the understanding of who God is. Did I mention He loves you? Did I mention He's got grace over you? Did I mention that He wants you to walk knowing Him? Him. He wants us to see Him for who He is. Not for what we gain from Him. Because the riches that we have gained is because of at His expense. It's the fellowship of knowing that the God that we serve is the God who paid it all. And He desires to walk with us through whatever turmoil or struggle we're going through. Everything. This is this loving God. This is this God who cares so much for us. And what does he say for us to do? Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." Walking in fear of the Lord is walking in the understanding of who God is and his love for each of us. He wants us to have that communion with him constantly. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't stop. Regardless whether your life is in turmoil or you have a time of peace right now. If you have the time of peace, then again, I ask you, are you utilizing that time? So we see again back to 31 that the churches were being built up, that they were walking in the fear and the understanding of who God is and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That word comfort is a root word from parakletos. It means to call to one side. Oh, that even draws a more beautiful picture. See, he's asking us to walk in understanding who he is, but he says, let's go. I'm walking with you. And if that was just it, that would be enough. But no, it's so much more than that. See, Jesus told us, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you do. You know him. He dwells with you, and he will be in you." How awesome is that? How great and grand is that? Now, if we went back to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul puts it this way. "In him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all these things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." And he goes on and says in Romans, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What is all this about? This is so cool. Listen, the Holy Spirit in you is doing a beautiful work. Oh, we know that. We've talked about that a lot. But there's something else he's desiring to do in each of us. What is it? To remind us of the account in heaven. He's the one whispering in your ear, "Why are you not withdrawing? Why are you not listening? Why are you not living as you can? I will equip you and I will empower you, but you have to understand your riches." Do you take time to get quiet before him? Now I'm going to get mean on you. You have no excuse. None of us do. I don't care how busy you are. If you're too busy to spend a few minutes with the Lord, actually, I recommend at least 15 in the morning, at least, before you get up and go. Then you're missing out. The Holy Spirit wants to remind you what's been given to you in your account. Now, the last thing I want you to look at again in that verse is comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. It's a numerical number. It is true. But it also means something else, that word. We find it actually three times. Twice in Peter's epistles, once in Jude. Listen now. It says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied." In his next epistle, he says pretty much the same thing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Jude, I think, takes it a little further. He says, oh, I have the wrong verse there. Let's skip Jude for now. But if you want, look up Jude. And it has a... Actually, I'll look up Jude. Sometimes I go too fast when I do my verses. It is found in... Oh, I see what I did there. First, in verse 1, it says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God. Who sanctifies you? God the Father, preserved, who keeps you? Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, love be multiplied to you. The church is always multiplied when they find that their companion and comfort is in the Holy Spirit, walking in the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, being built up in peace and in grace. How rich are you? Your mind can't even understand. What keeps you? You answer the question. We all have to answer it. Because today we're listening to this message. Tomorrow you may forget it. Is that good? No, it's bad. How do you keep it in your mind? Think about it. Some of you do really well because, again, understand, God speaks to each of us in a different way. But some of you do notes, and that's a very good way of doing it. I have a friend, when he reads a book, he writes notes. He writes notes, and then he can go back over those notes, even after he read the book years ago. This happened to me recently. I called him, and it so happened, I'm reading the same book he was reading his notes on that day. And it was kind of one of those amazing things. You're kidding me. We started talking. Now me, I don't write notes. But if you find books of mine, you'll see that they are written on, scribbled on, underlined, and everything else. Why? Because I'll be honest with you. I have a mind of a pea. I'll forget. I forgot my wife's name this morning. I was going to call her Jill. I never knew a Jill. Okay, that's a joke. Sorry if there's any Jills. Live in the moment. Today is a new day. Remember I said everything's forgiven? Today's a new day. Get that. Don't miss that. God didn't just give 24 hours in a day just for scientists and everything else and to figure out, whoa, look at this, it's a clock. No, he did it so you could go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, greet the sun and say, it's a new day. And God says, you're right. Let's do it right this time. Stay with me. Let me reveal the riches I've given to you. Remember this, your past is forgiven. Yesterday's gone. Oh, I know you may still have ramifications, but still, remember something. God's always at work. It's gone. The guilt should be gone. The shame should be gone. If the enemy keeps bringing it up, reject it. If you've dealt with it, if you've done with it properly, it's done. It's covered. It's over. Don't stay in the past. God takes care of it. Today is a day of walking with a great God, our Savior, in grace, in fellowship, in comfort, and peace. Peace. Peace be still. Come and see. Are you full of labor and are heavy laden? He says he'll give you rest. But are you taking the opportunity? For all of us, I think this was a good message. Me too. I needed to hear it. I needed to go through it. It's an understanding of something that, again, we look at our lives as if what we've performed and what we've achieved, instead of looking at the great master builder who's doing his work in and through us. Learning to see him clear every day is a blessing. Learning to walk with him because he loves you and has good pleasure in you. is an account. Withdraw from it. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this time. I just pray for each of us that we would hear your word this morning. Lord, that we would see and understand you a bit clearer, and that we would spend more time to understand, to bask in your presence of who you are, to have a reverence for you, an awe. Amazing God we serve. An amazing God that has done such wonderful work in each of us. My prayer, Lord, is for each of us to understand the new day syndrome is a blessed thing. That nothing comes over from yesterday. It's gone. Today is all we have. The time you've given to us is minutes that are passing away. They'll never be achieved or received again. It's the time that we have with you is what really matters most. Help us to understand, Lord, that you are with us always. And I pray that each of us learn how to withdraw from our accounts that's been given to each of us. Blessed be the Lord our Savior, blessed be our God, and blessed be the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.